This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. The United States and Philippines are now launching their largest combat exercises in decades that will include a boat sinking rocket assault in waters across the South China Sea and Taiwan Strait that will likely inflame China. The annual drills by the longtime treaty allies open Tuesday and will involve more than 17,600 military personnel and run up to April 28th. It will be the longest and latest display of American firepower in Asia, where Washington has repeatedly warned China over its increasingly aggressive actions in the disputed Sea Channel and against Taiwan. The Biden administration has been strengthening an arc of alliances in the Indo-Pacific to better counter China. A leaked document suggests U.S. spies caught Russian intelligence officers boasting that they convinced the oil-rich United Arab Emirates to work together against U.S. and U.K. intelligence agencies. The Emirati government dismissed the allegations that the UAE had deepened ties with Russia as categorically false, but the allegation comes at a time of growing U.S. concerns about companies in the UAE helping Russia thwart international sanctions imposed over Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The Biden administration has formally determined that a Wall Street Journal reporter arrested in Russia on espionage charges has been wrongfully detained. The designation elevates the case of Evan Gershowitz and the U.S. government hierarchy and means that a dedicated State Department office will take the lead on securing his release. Secretary of State Antony Blinken announced the determination on Monday. This is VOA News. Police say that a Louisville bank employee armed with a rifle opened fire at his workplace, killing five people. Louisville Metro Police Department Chief Jacqueline Gwen Villarreal identified the shooter as Connor Sturgeon. He was killed by police responding to the shooting Monday. And they said that the shooter live-streamed the attack. An emotional Kentucky governor, Andy Beshear, said he lost a close friend in the shooting. At least nine others were wounded in the attack, including a police officer who had just graduated from the academy on March 31st. The shooting comes just 2 weeks after a former student killed three children and three adults at a Christian elementary school in Nashville, Tennessee. A 62-year-old woman has been convicted of discrimination and harassment on making racist comments about Colombia's first black vice president during an anti-government protest last year. Luz Fabiola Rubiano pleaded guilty to the charges and will be sentenced by a judge on May 30th. In Colombia, acts of discrimination are punishable with up to 3 years in prison. Though judges can replace a prison time with parole or house arrest, the small business owner went viral in September after she railed against the vice president Francia Marquez on a video published by a local site. Rubiano was protesting in front of Colombia's Congress. Again, police say that a Louisville bank employee armed with a rifle did, in fact, open fire that killed five people. The Metro Police Department chief identified the shooter as Connor Sturgeon. He was actually killed by police responding to the shooting, which occurred on Monday. They said that the shooter live-streamed the attack. The governor, Andy Beshear, said that he lost a close friend in the shooting. At least nine other people were shot in the process. India's population is surpassing China's this month, or it may happen in July, or maybe it's happened already. Demographers are unsure or when exactly India will take the title from China as the most populous nation in the world, because they're relying on estimates, but they know it's going to happen soon, if it hasn't already. China has had the most people of any nation since at least 1950. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Thank you. Today is Tuesday, April 11th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I am Gina Dolfo in Washington. Coming up in the next half hour, Russia swaps prisoners with Ukraine but continues its assault on Bakhmut.
While Russia continued to concentrate on seizing all of Ukraine's industrial east, two other provinces, Kharkiv in the northeast and Zaporizhia in the southeast, have come under missile, rocket and artillery fire.
Multiple U.S. agencies probe security impacts of leaked classified documents.
There are a number of agencies trying to assess the damage from this, and what is unsaid is they're also trying to find out who is responsible.
And U.S. President Joe Biden says he will seek re-election in 2024. We'll have these stories and more next on International Edition. Stay tuned. More than 200 Russian and Ukrainian soldiers have returned home in a prisoner swap. Russia's defense ministry said 106 Russian soldiers were released from Ukraine's custody. Andriy Yermak, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's chief of staff, said that Russia freed 100 Ukrainian prisoners. This as the war continues amid growing calls for peace. Associated Press correspondent Charles de la Disma reports.
While Russia continued to concentrate on seizing all of Ukraine's industrial east, two other provinces, Kharkiv in the northeast and Zaporizhia in the southeast, have come under missile, rocket and artillery fire. The governor of the Kherson region says two communities were hit by bombs from warplanes late on Sunday, but he has not reported any casualties so far. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Multiple U.S. government agencies, including the Defense and Justice Departments, are aggressively working to assess the national security impacts of the recent leaks of highly classified military and intelligence documents related to Russia's war in Ukraine. Officials are scrambling to identify the leak source, which some Western security experts suspect could be someone from the United States. Laurie Lundin spoke with VOA's chief national correspondent Steve Herman.
Well, this is something so serious that there were a number of people working at the Pentagon and presumably at the intelligence agencies over the weekend. And we even had an Easter Day news release from the Department of Defense, which, of course, is highly unusual. And in that latest statement, a deputy press secretary, Sabrina Singh, says that the Pentagon is assessing the validity of the documents, which, quote, appear to contain sensitive and highly classified material. And as you mentioned, there are a number of agencies trying to assess the damage from this. And what is unsaid is they're also trying to find out who is responsible. What's really remarkable, I spoke to a researcher with the Netherlands-based Bellingcat Investigative Journalism Group that specializes in fact-checking and open-source intelligence, and they have pretty well determined that the documents started spreading from a server on Discord, which, unless you're a young person who's into online gaming, you've probably never heard of. But there's also some evidence based on Bellingcat's investigation and talking to some of the people on that Discord site that the materials may have first been posted online as early as January, but this didn't blow up until the New York Times did a story on it late last week. Most of these documents relate to analysis presumably done by analysts at the Pentagon and perhaps at the CIA and other intelligence agencies about the war in Ukraine. There's no doubt that the release of this is damaging because it references signal intelligence of some U.S. allies. And we do need to point out, although these documents apparently run more than 100 pages, at least part of it appears to have been doctored by Russians or those sympathetic to the Russian cause, changing casualty reports, lowering estimates that the United States government had done of Russian casualties in Ukraine and increasing Ukrainian casualties. So there is some disinformation that's out there. If people are going online and coming across these documents, they may not be able to trust that what they're looking at is authentic. But officials I've talked with in the U.S. government acknowledge that much of this, if not most of it, that has leaked is authentic.
Is there any indication of how far they are along as far as figuring out the source of what happened here?
We don't have any specific indications of how far along they are. What we do know, and I can tell you based on my reporting, is it does not appear that there was some sort of hacking of a U.S. government classified server, because the documents that have spread across the internet were photographed. You can see that they are photographed, which indicates that a recipient of a hard copy of these documents took pictures of them, or someone came across these documents who was not authorized to see them and surreptitiously photographed them.
That's VOA's Chief National Correspondent Steve Herman speaking with VOA's Laura London. U.S. President Joe Biden said on Monday he plans to run for re-election in 2024, but was not prepared to announce it yet. Both Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris have said they will run together. Top White House advisors are set to make final decisions on launching Biden's re-election campaign, NBC News reported, citing several unidentified sources. For more, I spoke with VOA's White House correspondent Anita Powell.
Critics of the president will note that he has spent the last few weeks kind of crisscrossing the nation talking about how his work as president has improved, according to his argument, improved the lives of Americans, which could be seen as kind of a prelude to an official campaign. So he's certainly going through all of the motions. He's doing what one would expect of a president who is seeking re-election. But has he actually, quote Beyonce, put a ring on it? Not quite.
Some critics of the president say he's indicated he will run, but he has not made a formal announcement. And that might be a political strategy to just clear the field and ensure that there's no one else who would announce that he's running against him, at least in the primaries.
Two other people have indicated from his own party that they are going to run. And we also have numerous Republicans who have said that they are running, including, of course, the former president, Donald Trump. So if the idea is to fend off competition and keep anyone else from announcing their intent to join the race, that hasn't played out that way. Now, of course, any Democrats who are running in 2024 against President Biden, who's probably going to be the Democratic nominee, are going to have an uphill battle because the party does need to choose their nominee. And the incumbent is most often the one chosen. But if his strategy is to keep competitors away, I don't think that's exactly panning out.
President Biden has reiterated that he's going to run if, when he decides, with the current Vice President Kamala Harris. She has her critics, but she also has her supporters who think she brings a lot to that ticket. You were with her on a trip to Africa. What can you tell us about her and, of course, what she brings to the table in a Biden-Harris ticket?
So I just spent 9 days in 3 African countries with Vice President Harris, which was a really interesting educational experience. The vice president made a few points about how the U.S. is kind of reevaluating its resetting its relationship with African nations from a more collaborative approach to what we've had in the past. In that regard, this was a message that she was able to communicate very clearly, and something that she was also able to communicate other aspects of, such as the U.S.'s support of democratization and the inclusion of women in positions of power in democracy. This is a message that the first female vice president of the United States is uniquely able to convey. So in that regard, she brings a lot to this relationship and to this ticket, and he's indicated that she will be his running mate. She's indicated that she believes that she will be his running mate, and that's where we are for now. No, we haven't had a formal announcement, so we'll wait until that happens to set that in stone.
That's VOA White House correspondent Anita Powell speaking with me from the White House. After former President Donald Trump and remained in New York on 34 felony charges, his lawyers have begun working on his defense. This is just the first of several investigations that Trump faces and that, according to some experts, could have very serious consequences for him and his political future. Veronica Badderas Iglesias has those details.
How will former President Donald Trump approach his defense after being indicted in a hush money case and brought before a court to hear the charges against him? That's not something that his lawyer, James Trusty, was keen on disclosing while interviewed on ABC's This Week. But he did speak about Trump's overall mood.
Anybody that gets targeted by federal investigators, by New York prosecutors, you know, they certainly turn inward a little bit and think this is really bad news, this is terrible for me. But he very quickly pivots to the big picture, the historic picture, and I tend to agree. This is a bad moment for this country.
Trump faces 34 felony charges of falsifying New York business records to conceal that he allegedly ordered hush money payments to a porn actor who had damaging information about him right before the 2016 presidential election. He has pleaded not guilty. The case, put together by prosecutor Alvin Bragg, has no merit in the eyes of former Attorney General Bill Barr.
Falsifying a business record is a crime if it is part of a fraudulent scheme. And I don't see anywhere specified in here exactly what the fraud was. But there are a host of other problems having to do with the statute of limitations, his failure to specify exactly what the other crime was that was being committed that makes this into a felony.
More serious, however, is the federal investigation that Trump faces for having classified documents in his possession, Barr pointed out.
The government is investigating the extent to which games were played and there was obstruction in keeping the documents from them.
At this time, no more classified documents remain in the hands of the former president, said his lawyer, James Trusty.
We've been professional, we've been ethical, and we're satisfied that there's no outstanding issue relating to compliance with the subpoena.
While Trump remains defiant, substantial fines or even prison time can't be ruled out in other cases related to alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election result and the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Law professor Claire Finkelstein told VOA's Urdu service via Skype.
Seditious conspiracy or insurrection under the 14th Amendment, Section 3, would mean that he could not hold federal office again.
Legal experts say they don't expect a possible conviction and sentencing on any of these investigations to happen before the 2024 election. Trump, who lost the 2020 election, is again running for president. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
In other news, the Taliban have banned families and women from restaurants with gardens or green spaces in Afghanistan's northwestern Herat province. An official said Monday that the moves followed complaints from religious scholars and members of the public about mixing of genders. It was the latest in the slew of restrictions imposed by the Taliban since they took power in August 2021. They have shut girls out of classrooms beyond sixth grade and women from universities, most types of employment, including jobs at the United Nations. They are also banned from public spaces such as parks and gyms. This is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinedu Ofo in Washington. China has ended 3 days of military drills around Taiwan on Monday, saying they had tested integrated military capabilities under actual combat conditions. Edward Boran of Reuters reports.
Beijing announced the drills on Saturday after Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen returned to Taipei following a meeting in Los Angeles with U.S. House of Representatives Speaker Kevin McCarthy. The Chinese military said it had successfully completed the exercises and, quote, comprehensively tested the capabilities of multiple units. China's People's Liberation Army on Sunday put out this short animation of simulated attacks on Taiwan on its WeChat account. The Eastern Theater Command of the PLA said its aircraft carrier, the Shandong, also took part in combat patrols and showed fighters taking off from its deck. Taiwan has been tracking the Shandong since last week in the Pacific Ocean. Taiwanese fighter jets could be seen taking off and landing at an airbase in the island's north. The country's military has repeatedly said it will respond calmly to China's drills and not provoke conflict. In Shanghai, people were broadly supportive of the drills. This local says he thinks the drills are a very normal thing and that China needs to show its, quote, ability to react like this. Meanwhile, in Pingtung, Taiwan's southern tip,
Many said they were largely unfazed. We're used to it by now. It's no big deal. It's been like this for years. China has just been like that, one man said, adding that people are nervous but not worried. International powers, including the United States, say they've been closely watching the drills. A top government spokesperson for Japan said the country has been following China's military drills around Taiwan with great interest. The European Union has also expressed concern, saying on Monday that Taiwan's status should not be changed by force, as any escalation, accident or use of force there would have huge global implications. China has never renounced the use of force to bring the democratically governed island under Beijing's control. Taiwan's government strongly disputes China's claims and has condemned the drills.
That's Edward Moran of Reuters. The World Health Organization climate change says it's causing a global rise in mosquito-borne infections such as dengue, Zika and chikungunya. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Arboviruses spread by mosquitoes have spread dramatically around the world in recent decades. For example, the World Health Organization reports cases of dengue fever increased from just over 500,000 cases in 2000 to 5.2 million in 2019. And the trend continues. Latest data show about half of the world's population now is at risk of dengue, the most common viral infection that mosquitoes spread to people, with an estimated 100 to 400 million infections every year. Many of them are in Africa. Raman Velayudan is head of WHO's Global Program on Control of Neglected Tropical Diseases. He says in South America, dengue is expanding further south to countries such as Bolivia, Peru, and Paraguay.
This is really worrying because this shows that climate change has played a key role in facilitating the spread of the vector, the mosquitoes, down south. And then when people travel, naturally the virus goes along with them. And this trend is likely to continue for the rest of the world. And we have already got reports from Sudan, which has recorded quite high increase in dengue cases, over 8,000 cases and 45 deaths since July.
Chikungunya is a virus spread by Aedes mosquitoes, which are found on nearly all continents. The disease can cause chronic disabilities and severely impact the quality of life. MDPI, a publisher of open access scientific journals, reported there's been a new emergence and reemergence of arboviruses in Africa, including dengue, Zika, chikungunya, and yellow fever. And the WHO notes Africa experiences the most malaria cases and deaths in the world. WHO technical lead for Zika and chikungunya, Diana Rojas Alvarez, says cases of chikungunya in the Americas have increased from 50,000 in 2022 to 135,000 this year. She says the virus is circulating out of the usual endemic areas in South America and is spreading in other regions of the world.
So now we are seeing transmission where we didn't see it before. But we should be prepared to detect some cases during spring and summer in Europe and in the Northern Hemisphere, also in Southeast Asia, because the arbovirus season starts later there. It's usually when the summer season starts.
Major risk factors behind the rising number of arbovirus outbreaks around the world include climate change, deforestation, urbanization, and increased movement of people and goods. WHO experts say mosquito-borne infections put all populations at risk. However, it is the most vulnerable members of society who are most endangered. They call on countries to increase surveillance to monitor and detect the transmission of arboviruses. They urge affected communities to eliminate mosquito breeding sites in and around homes and to use mosquito repellent to protect themselves against these potentially fatal vector-borne viral diseases. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Hey there, it's Shauna Renee, also known as the Lady DJ, inviting you to join me every Thursday at 10 and 2200 UTC for today's Hit Countdown. Each week, I count down the top 20 songs in pop music according to Billboard and Rolling Stone magazines, but more importantly, according to you, the VOA listeners. Again, that's Thursdays at 10 and 2200 UTC right here on VOA 1.
We're bringing women voices to the conversation on things that matter to the hearts and minds of women. From right here in the nation's capital to on the ground from all over the African continent. We hear your voices. Our voices. Right here on VOA on Wednesdays at 1900 UTC.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week, for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the world. Give us 5 minutes, and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for listening. Visit our website for in-depth coverage of all events and news 24 hours at voanews.com and check out voaafrica.com for more English language programming. You can find International Edition and our current affairs programs, Encounter, Press Conference USA, and Issues in the News on voanews.com. Until next time, I am Chinedofo in Washington, wishing you a great day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Democracies are strengthened by the participation of all citizens, particularly women and girls in all their diversity. That's why President Joe Biden has made advancing women's and girls' civic and political participation a top priority of his administration. Speaking at the Status of Women is the Status of Democracy event on day zero of the Second Summit for Democracy, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said, "We all know the rights of women in many parts of the world are under threat and under attack.
Repressive governments are passing targeted laws to restrict women's fundamental freedoms, including the right to free speech and assembly. Extremist actors are disproportionately targeting women and girls, especially those from historically marginalized identities, like LGBTQIS people, women from racial, ethnic, and religious communities."
But it's not just in autocracies that women are being denied their full and equal rights, noted Secretary Blinken.
In far too many parts of the world, women and girls still do not have equal opportunities to study and work. Women journalists, advocates, politicians, and others are subject to persistent online harassment and abuse. Women who are victims of violence often do not have equal access to justice. Women are subject to discrimination that often puts them at a disadvantage.
In the face of these forces, women and girls are leading the charge to advocate for their own rights and all human rights and democracy around the world. And they're demonstrating the importance of having women and girls at the decision-making table. In Afghanistan, in the face of the Taliban's relentless efforts to erase them from daily life, women are protesting for the respect of their human rights. They are still fighting for a brighter future for their country. In Iran, courageous women are marching in the streets, under great threat to themselves, to call for woman, life, and freedom. The United States stands in solidarity with these women and all who are working for women and girls' full, free, and equal participation in decision-making processes around the world. Through our diplomacy, said Secretary Blinken, we're committed to supporting them and advancing gender equality worldwide. When we succeed, he said, we not only do the right thing, but the smart and necessary thing to make our countries more prosperous, secure, and fuller of opportunity for all of our people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.